Blog Talk Radio.
Number where we can be reached is 646 200
3074. 646-200 3074. The second allocated number is 877-598-8654. 877-598-8654. We welcome your calls into the program. All right. We will be beginning our prayer in just a moment. And I would like you to know tonight that I will be with you for 1 hour. I have bumped the time up a little bit so I can just minister you, because I know there are some hurting hearts out there tonight. We've heard across the airway of a devastation that has been caused in the state of Texas, in the city of Oklahoma. And we know that there are some of you out there in our listening digital audience that have loved ones and relatives and children and friends and coworkers and colleagues, and the list just go on and on, of loved ones out there in that state that have been devastated. They have been displaced. Lives has been lost from the impact of that tornado. And we just ask, and those of you that will, to continue to keep those people there in our prayers. For God want us to be helpers one unto another and be prayerful. So I would ask that you keep them in mind when you go down in prayer, to for the Lord to bless them, to be able to rebuild, and to rebuild their lives and the lives of their families and the lives of the community, and that they come together in unity. And we just thank you once again for tuning in. And we will right now go into our prayer. We have implemented prayer before the start of our program. And I would ask those of you, my listening audience, to bow your head, if you will, with me as I go in prayer on tonight. Father God, we come with grateful hearts of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us to gather in unity once again around this spectrum, coming together as pilgrims through this barren land. We're asking you to anoint these lips of clay, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know you in the pardons of their sins. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep within their souls. Lord, we will be so mindful to give your name the glory, honor, and praise of these petitions that we have placed before your throne of grace. And we'll ask in Jesus' matchless name, we pray. And we shall all say, amen and amen. And I hope that you had a beautiful day today. Excuse me. I hope that you had a beautiful day on today as you go about your busy itinerary and your commute around town and your designated area. And our theme for tonight is a life and death issue. That is tonight's sermon theme, is a life and death issue. And we've taken that from the law of 1 Corinthians 15 and 54. And we shall go over there, and you can get your Bibles and read along. You that have your Bible, you are welcome to read along with me. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And this is kind of geared along those lines of the loved ones and the lives that have been lost in that devastation and that catastrophe there in Texas. And, you know, friends and saints and loved ones and you that are out there in our listening digital audience, God is trying to tell us something. You know, there was a song that says God is trying to tell you something. I come to let you know tonight that God is trying to tell you something. And you know, a lot of times, you know, we find that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh, and blessed be the name of the Lord. And we know that the Lord also allows and he causes catastrophe to happen in our lives to get our attention. He wants to get our undivided attention, where often we're too busy going here and going there and everywhere until we can't really be completely still enough to hear God's voice when he speaks to us. So we have to really get into a solitude environment in order to hear God when he is ministering unto our hearts and our souls. You know, one can never be too busy for God, because God demands our attention. And God will get you and our attention one way or another. I tell you, he will get our attention whatever means he feels necessary. If it meaning taking a husband, a wife, a baby, a cousin, a grandmother, an uncle, maybe some colleague, maybe someone that has counseled us, maybe a dignitary figure. But whatever God choose to do, I come to serve you. Notice that God is God. And God don't have to get anyone's permission to do what he do. God, as I first stated, God calls all the shots. God is the CEO, the COO. God is the beginning and the end. And a lot of times we are just too busy in our daily lives until we just cannot be in a place where we can hear God speak unto our hearts, speaking to our spirit. And the world has evolved, and we have a diverse world to where they really don't want to have anything to do with God. They want to take God out of the workplace. They want to take God out of the schools. They want to take prayer out of the schools. In some schools, prayer is omitted. And they want to take prayer out of the justice halls or the halls of justice. They want to take prayer out. But it's one thing is for sure, that this world cannot, will not survive without Alpha and Omega included. God said in his word, I am the beginning and I am the ending. So God can do what only God is qualified, certified, bona fide to do. You may ask why that God do what he do. Well, that's because God is omnipotent, meaning that he has all power and authority in his wings, through his wings, underneath his wings, over his wings, over the whole universe. God controls both heaven and earth, death, hell, and the grave. It's under God's authority. And I am reminded, hallelujah, that when my sister, and I'll call her by her first name, Marie, when I got the devastating call about her having a cardiac arrest in her living room area, she was home alone and later found, I think, by one of her children. And she was en route to the hospital where they hooked her up with all the latest high-tech devices, you know, to try to revive her and sustain her life. But for the most part, she had already went on to her destination. And that was my heart. That was my heart throb. That was my sister. And I'd already lost one sister, and so that was my second sister. And I loved her dearly. And you know, when I got the devastating news over the airway, I mean, not the airway, but the telephone, which that sealed the airway, and my heart was so broken. And I had asked God, I said, God, I said, why? You know, people say you can't ask God questions or you can't question God, but I beg to differ, because if you don't ask God questions, then you can't get any answer, because he is the only one that has the solution, that has the answer to every problem that we might have. God has the answer. So I ask God, God, why you didn't let me see her one more time? I didn't say, God, why you didn't let me make the funeral? Because I had to fly there. And even though I had tried early in the week to get airline tickets and make reservations, and I hadn't made the deposit at the bank, but we was trying our best to find some tickets where I could go and attend the funeral services. And one ticket come across the internet. But like I said, I didn't have the money in the bank. I had the money in my pocket. So I was unable to grab that ticket. But I had faith that God would open up an avenue for me to be able to get a ticket the next evening, which was a Friday night. And my son sat there and he scanned and he looked and he searched the internet over. And I am reminded that there was not a ticket that I could purchase out of the three airports. One was San Jose, Oakland, and San Francisco. And I could not get a ticket to save my life. So my question to God was not, God, why you didn't let me make the funeral? But my question to God was, God, why you didn't let me see her one more time? And I'm here to tell you, saints of God, and you that are out there in our listening audience on tonight, this is what God, the Spirit of God, said unto me. He said, I did. And I began to ponder my mind. And I thought about, I had been in Texas only 9 days ago before her death. I was in her home, sitting there on a bedside, and I had told her how I loved her, and I told her how beautiful she was to me. And she was swole in her extremities, and she felt like she was no longer pretty, you know. And I couldn't compliment her enough, because she just felt like she wasn't the same anymore. But I assured her that in spite of what she thought, that she still was beautiful and pretty to me. And so I kissed her and I asked her, was there anything that she wanted? And she first told me no. And then I said, you mean to tell me you can't think of nothing that you would want while I'm here and I'm ready to offer you some goodies out of the store? You can't think of anything that you want? And then she thought and she said, well, I think I want some bananas, and secondly, I think I want some pork skins. Now, mind you, she didn't need the pork skins, but I asked her what she wanted, so she gave me an answer. And so anyway, to make the long story short, I purchased the items, and she was just eating on her snacks and enjoying them as though that was the best food that she'd ever put in her mouth. And I looked into her eyes, and I could see death in her eyes. I don't know if you've ever seen death in the eyes of your loved one or a friend or a patron or a patient, you that are in the medical field. But I've seen her eyes just shiny and glowing, like she was just ready to go. And so we chatted a while, and I talked, and then we dismissed ourselves, and I went on my way. And so I made it on back home, and like I said, about 9 days later, I got a call on my phone that she had had a cardiac arrest. And so my question to God was, God, why you didn't let me see her one more time? And God assured me, he said, I did. And when I look back, saints and friends and you that are out there in our listening audience, when I look back, I had to tell God, God, you are so right. That is so true, because you blessed me to see her while she yet lived and in her right mind. And for whatever reason, God didn't allow me to make the funeral services. I don't know. I don't know if God saw accident that was waiting to happen or what. God knew. But whatever it was, God did not want me a part of it. And so God refused to allow me a ticket, an airline ticket. So, I would just like to say, when life circumstances hurt so much, you know, our faith sometimes is often mixed with doubt. And I know that my heart was so hurt, and I cried. I cried to God. And I know that, you know, God hurt also. I know he hurt it even as I hurt it. And I know sometimes we don't understand why God allowed death. And sometimes we have to ask God, have you not heard the everlasting God? Neither faints nor is weary. His understanding, we find out, is unsearchable. In the law of Isaiah 40:28, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways. Isaiah 55:8. Lord, you are beyond my understanding. But I know I still wonder, and you wonder, have you turned your back on the world? And we know that God sits on his most holy throne. We find in the law of Psalms 47 and 8, and he rules by his power forever. And Lord, I do believe that you are ruling this world, but do you care about the pain? Have you forgotten to be good? I am good and ready to forgive and abundance in mercy to all of those who call upon me in the law of Psalms 86 and 5. Yes, Lord, you have been good to me. He's been to you, good to you, you that are out there in our listening audience, in countless ways, including listening to our doubts and questions about you. The answer God gives us in his word may not take away our sadness, but we can always rest in the truth that he is wise, sovereign, and good. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we know that God never makes a mistake. God never makes a mistake. Hallelujah. And we find out that I know I find myself sometimes when I think on, you know, holidays to come around, and sometimes I feel sadness and tears begin to come up in the wells of my eyes, and I wipe the tears from my eyes. But I'm reminded of a song that the songwriter wrote, that when we've been there 10,000 years, we know less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And we can attest that at that moment, I know that I'm not really interested in the 10,000 years in heaven, but I can think about that time when my mother died of carcinoma of cancer. And I was really looking forward to spending a Christmas holiday with her. But God took her own home. And I know that she's already experiencing an eternity that we can only talk and sing about. And so I know that when she died in the year of 1988, hallelujah, heaven took on a new meaning for my family, because our bright and beautiful mother had trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior, and we knew that she was there. And as Paul said, death is swallowed up in victory. In the law of 1 Corinthians 15 and 54. And we know that to us heaven became even more real. We know that as we talk with God, we were talking to someone who had our mother in his presence. The reality of heaven is one of the Bible's most glorious truth. It's a real place where our loved ones live in the presence of our great God, forever serving him and singing his praise, all because of his amazing grace. Hallelujah. And when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we no less days to sing God praise than when we first begun. And as believers, and as Christians, I come to alert your heart on tonight, hallelujah, that Christians never say goodbye to each other for the last time, because we shall live up in heaven and sing praises unto God and tell the story how we got over, how we made it over. Hallelujah. We come over the rough hills and the mountains. I tell you, we've come through trials and we come through heartaches. We come through letdowns. Because in this life, God assured us that in this life, we will go through trials and tribulations. We will go through turbulent times. And I would like to encourage your heart, you that has lost a loved one. May it be at the risk of the tornado in the town of Moore, Oklahoma, or may it be a tragedy, may it be an illness that they have been suffering with for a long time. But I want you to know that weeping might endure for a night, that we know that joy cometh in the morning. And all you got to do is just put your faith and your trust in God. Because God assured us that, hallelujah, don't put your trust in man, but put your trust in me. Because he come and he has declared that in his Father's house is many mansions. He said, if it was not so, I wouldn't have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And when I come back, I will come and receive you unto myself. So I'm not telling you don't cry. I'm not telling you not to weep. But I'm letting you know that if you have your life in order, if you have your portfolio in order, and that is your life, if you have it in order with God, then you can see that loved one again. Because this place is not you and our home, because we have an eternal home, our eternal home with Jesus. If we are living the life of Christ, if we are obeying the word of God and doing what God has commanded us to do, then we have a heavenly home that's not made by the hand of man. Hallelujah. But its builders is the spiritual architect of Jesus Christ. He is the creator and the maker of our heavenly home. And you will be able to see your husband again. You that have lost a husband, you will be able to see your husband again. You that have lost a cousin, you will be able to see your cousin again. You that have lost grandparents, you will be able to see your grandfather or your grandmother. I am a recipient of have lost grandparents. So I have grandparents that is demised and gone on. So you will be able to see your grandparents. You that have aunts and uncles, you will be able to see your aunts and uncles again. You that has siblings, may it be brother or sister, that has gone on before us, you will be able to see them again. Why, you might ask, Pastor Ward? Because you are covered by the blood of Jesus for the remission of your sins. When God went out over 2,000 light years ago on Calvary cross for the sins of the world, for your sins and mine. Now, we have been redeemed because we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. so you will be able to see that loved one that's gone on. And you should be crying with tears of joy, knowing that that loved one has went on to a heavenly place. But right now they're lying in state. It said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So their body is lying in state until Jesus cracked that cloud and God's word declares that those that are dead in Christ shall rise again. So this is not the last that you will see of your loved ones. But this is new beginnings. Hallelujah. And you will see your loved one again after this earthly life is over. So I just want to encourage your heart tonight. I know there's some parents, some mothers, some grandmothers, some aunts and uncles that has lost children, nieces, nephews, students, faculty members in the tornado that touched down on last evening and took the lives of many of those in that city. But I want you to know that behind every catastrophe is God's handwriting on the wall. And like I first stated earlier in the program, God is trying to tell you and I something. The world is in such a dismay, and they don't want any parts of God in our government sector, not even in really the private sector. But I just want to alert your heart about this one thing. There can be no peace on earth until we accept God for who he is. God is the ruler of this universe. And everything that's in this universe, God created, including you and I. And God will not be second best when God is number one. God is going to be number one, or he's not going to be anything. God is trying to knock at the door of your heart. You that are out there in our listening radio digital audience, God is trying to tell you something. And he's knocking at the door of your heart. He's been trying to get you on your off day. But you have to take your son or daughter to soccer practice. You have to take your daughter to piano lessons, recital. You have to go to spouse counseling. And so you just had too busy of itinerary to have time for God. And I found out, saints and friends and you that are out there in our listening audience, I mean through hands-on experience. I'm not talking about what I've heard, what I've read in a magazine, of what somebody has told me. But I'm talking about first-hand, experience. on the job experience. See, and because one thing about it, you can't be an effective minister to minister to the world unless you have firsthand experience in what you are ministering. Because if you don't have a clue of what you're ministering about, then no one really wants to hear anything that you have to say, because you only have secondhand reporting, something that you've read, something that someone told you, something that you've heard on the radio, something you've heard on the television. But when you have that one-on-one experience, you can stand up and tell the world without a shadow of a doubt, I have encountered the loss of a mother, the loss of a father, the loss of grandparents, the loss of nieces and nephews, the loss of cousins, the loss of friends. The only thing that, well, I guess I could say I've had even lost a baby in the early stage. So I do have some input about the death of a child or death of an infant. But unless you have first-hand experience, then you can't even have a voice. But I want you to know that God is trying to get your undivided attention. And until we stop and make time for God, we will experience catastrophes, tragedies, death of a loved one, because God will get our attention one way or another. And it's not that God is punishing us, because God is not that type of spiritual being. God is not a God that wants to punish us. God said we reap what we sow. But God doesn't do things to, you know, to just bring about punishing us. But he brings things in our lives to wake us up. We getting a wake-up call. You set the alarm. You're looking for that alarm to alert you it's time for you to get up and start getting dressed for work. Start getting dressed for that doctor's appointment. Start getting dressed for that vacation. Start getting dressed for that job interview. So we know that in our daily lives, we are asserted by alarm clocks, by word of mouth, people calling you and waking you up. Some friend call you and say, girl, I'm calling to wake you up, you know. That's the way God is. God knock at the door of our heart. He don't knock the door down, but God knocks at the door of our spiritual heart, waiting on us to open up the door so Jesus can come in and sup, means sit down with us, spiritually speaking, and invite himself into our lives so that we can experience God's goodness, God's grace, and God's mercy. And so when we are too busy for God, then God has to take what we call extreme measures in order to get our undivided attention. I was listening on the radio on today, because I am a radio listener, and one man's message was of the devastation there in Moore, Oklahoma. He said, looking around at the destruction that the tornado has caused, he don't see how a person come out alive. Cars are just sitting on top of each other. The houses are off of their foundation. People don't even know where their house once stood because God has just swept and just wiped the surface clean. And so people don't even know where the house was seated, in other words. They don't know where the house was. But I've come to let you know that God is all power. And God has all power in his hand. Above the heavens and beneath the earth. So your arms is too short to box with God. I'm here to tell you. You that's out there in our listening audience on tonight. I'm here to let you know that your arms are too short to box with God. Every fight that God had encountered into his spiritual realm was a TKO. Technical knockout. God never lost a fight. God never lost a battle. And I would urge you that are listening tonight. It's not coincidental that you tuned in to Blog Talk Radio tonight and the program Old Ship of Zion with Senior Pastor Janice Ward. But you are here by spiritual design. The design call of God to hear the message that God sent by the way of his messenger. It's time for you to sit down and allow God to talk with you, to come in and sit at your table and sup with you and you with him. Because I want to let you know that time is winding down. You know, we can't even tell the summer from the spring, the winter from the fall. One day it's raining, and in that same day, God will allow the sun to come out. In that same day, God can cause it to have giant, mall-sized balls of hail. Then the next time, it can be thundering. Those are the mighty acts of God. God do what he wants as he chooses, when he chooses, because guess what? He is God. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the soon coming King. And if I were you, on tonight, I would be making plans to make God my choice. If you don't know God, you that are out there in our digital listening audience, I would encourage you tonight to get to know Jesus so you won't have to encounter these kinds of devastations, because God is mad. God is angry, and God has stretched out his mighty hand. God has stretched out his wrath upon the people. You know, when God got tired of those that he had delivered out of Egypt that was wandering around for 40 years with no sense of direction, they was not thankful of God delivering them feeding them and clothing them, giving them some place to camp out at. They just was complaining and complaining. And I tell you, when I read that, I didn't know God could get so angry. But I'm here to tell you that God, you ain't seen God get angry till you read. I think that's in the book of Numbers. God got so angry that God just opened up a hole and swallowed the people and all of their possessions. It made they had houses and made they had mules and cows and, you know, horse on a buggy, a wagon, whatever they owned in their possessions. God opened up the ground and swallowed them up. So yesterday was a sign of God angry men. See, God has angry, he has angry men in his blood, in his spiritual blood. God can get angry. And when God get angry, Lord have mercy. You don't want to see the aftermath of God's destruction once he get mad. Because the last time I was told that God had stepped foot over there in Oklahoma was back in 1999, if I make no mistake. I believe the news reporting cited that it was in the year of 1999 was the last time that God had brought devastation there. So they rebuilt, and God came right back and knocked it. He was just like Humpty Dumpty, set on the wall. And Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king horses and all the king men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. I'm here to let you know that in a sense of the word, God was Humpty Dumpty on yesterday. And you cannot mess with God when God stretch out his wrath. He is trying to get the attention of the people before it's too late. And God knows that there are saints of God all around his universe that are prayerfully praying that God would not come right now. And that would allow multitude of people to give their life to Christ. Because if Christ come now, there would be, I'm telling you, a multitude of souls that would be lost. So I am reminded that the Bible tells me that the prayer of the righteous one availeth much. And so God has heed to the prayer of the righteous one, and he has postponed his grand entrance as of now. But God has given you fair warning. God said he give warning before destruction. So you have been fair warned to get your house in order before God returns. Get your life right with Christ. Don't worry about your husband. If your husband don't want to get right, you get right. If your wife, husbands, if your wife don't want to be saved, you get saved. Then maybe you can bring her in. Maybe you can bring him in. Sons and daughters, don't worry about your brother not wanting to get saved. You get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And you can draw your brother in. Your brother, you can draw your sister in. Hallelujah. So God is trying to tell you something. And may it be that you have lost a loved one. Maybe you've lost all your possessions. I am a recipient of one that has lost all of one's possessions. So I know what you're talking about when you said you lost everything. I am a recipient that has lost everything in my lifetime. But I'm here to encourage your heart that if you invite Jesus into your life, God can renew again. What you lost, God can give you more than what you lost. Just read the book of Job, how Job lost everything that he had, his wife, his children and cattle, and everything that he owned was lost. He lost every single one of his children. But I'm here to encourage your heart that God blessed Job. Job was already one of the richest men of the East. And if you would compare Job's riches up against our time right now, if you would match Job's currency up against today's currency, I presume Job would be a multi-millionaire or even a billionaire. So Job lost everything, but God was gracious unto Job because Job was gracious unto God. And God said that Job was a man after God's own heart. Won't you be a man after God's own heart on today? Won't you be a woman after God's own heart today? The Bible said, choose ye this day who you're going to serve. You can't serve both Lucifer and Christ. You have to decide who you're going to serve. So this is just a word to the wise. If I was you, and if I was in the pardons of my sins on this evening, I would get down on my knees, wherever you might be. Go into a solitude place. May it be a restroom at a restaurant. Go into a stall and close the door. And you can sit on the toilet seat, put some paper there and sit down and acknowledge that you are a sinner. Ask God into your life. And once admission of sin, when that is implemented, then God will forgive you of your sins right there, right then, on the spot. And you are a saved creature in Christ. Because time is of an essence. Time is winding down. It's late over in the evening. I'm not talking about looking out doors and talking about it's late over in the evening for as darkness. But I'm talking about spiritually it is late over in the evening. It is time for you to get right with God. It is time to put all of your worldly accolades aside and let God be the lover. Let him be the lover of your life. Let him be the chief cornerstone of your heart on tonight. And I'm here to tell you that if you allow God into your life, you will never be the same. You will be a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Just open up the door and let God in. Let him be the ruler. And let him take up into your heart tonight. You will be glad that you did. So, if you know God, know Jesus. That's N-O. If you K-N-O-W Jesus, know Jesus, then you K-N-O-W know God. Get a relationship with God before it's too late. I am urging you that are out there in our listening audience to choose today who you're going to serve. I hope and pray that I've said something to impact your spirit and infuse your mind. I have given to you the divine word of truth. Until we meet again, I want you to go in God as God go in you. Bye for now.